hearty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
I've been talking with Nnamdi Hollywood Mowata, our undisputed and reigning prince of pugilistics, about the Anthony Joshua Vladimir Klitschko World Heavyweight Championship fight. The bout at London's Wembley Stadium April 29th is shaping up as one of the biggest of 2017. It features two Olympic champions. Joshua won gold for Britain in the super heavyweight class at the 2012 Olympics in London. And Klitschko won gold for Ukraine in the super heavyweight division at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. Before losing a unanimous decision last year to British fighter Tyson Fury, Klitschko had one of the longest championship reigns in heavyweight history. His one previous loss was in 2004. But Father Time might be catching up with the man nicknamed Dr. Steelhammer. He'll be 41 years old when he enters the ring at Wembley against the 27-year-old Joshua. Still, Klitschko says he's in tremendous physical condition.
I'm still in pretty amazing shape. I don't feel the age till now. I don't know how it's going to be in 5 years, but as currently as right now, I feel motivated. I feel strong. The speed, you know, experience, anticipation, it all works together well. And that's what actually I will need to say a couple of months later on the night of April 29th in the middle of the Wembley Stadium. I want to say the same lines. You know what? I still got it. That's why I'm holding these titles in my hands.
Former world heavyweight boxing champion Vladimir Klitschko speaking in London. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Mowata, if Klitschko's age will hurt him when he fights Anthony Joshua.
Sonny, people say he's a young 41. But don't forget, a young 41 has not fought in how long? More than a year. He's been sitting around, you know. He must be rusty. So they say age is not a number. But in the fight game, in boxing, age matters a lot. A 41-year-old taking on a 27-hot puncher, you know. What will Vladimir come into the ring with? If he looks scared the way he looks scared with Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua will knock him out.
Age matters a lot, as you say, Nnamdi, and a guy who's going to be 10 years older than Vladimir Klitschko, Bernard Hopkins, 51 years of age. He's going to be back in the ring on Saturday night in your neck of the woods at the Forum in Inglewood, California. Hopkins will take on Joe Smith Jr.
He is a legend, but when he's in there with me Saturday night, he's just another opponent to me, and I'm looking to get him out of there and stop him, be the first person to stop him in his career.
And ahead of the fight, Hopkins talked about how his career has coincided with a few U.S. presidents.
Think about it. Ronald Reagan was on his way out. Do the math. 1988, 2016. That means two of the Bushes, two of the Clintons. Just pay attention and watch. December 17th, with a puncher. I run the punchers. I don't run from them. And so when a puncher punches, understand that only way he know he's hitting something is when he hits something. Let's see. Can the fox dismantle the puncher?
Hopkins versus Smith, Nnamdi. How's this one shaping up?
Sonny, don't forget, Bernard Hopkins is one of the greatest middleweights in history. We must put him there with marvelous Marvin Hagler, Dick Tiger, Gene Fulmer, and all these great middleweights. But for his last fight, I question why he picks up a puncher that can knock his jaw out. Joe Smith is a good fighter and he's a puncher. I mean, go back and look at the fight with Andres Fonfara right in front of his own people in Chicago. He knocked out Fonfara, one of the upsets of 2016. Why tangle with the tiger when you can fight a goat or a lamb, you know? We may see a huge upset Saturday night, but don't count the old man out.
See, I'm not going to predict that I end his career mentally, emotionally, physically. You know, I'm not going to wish the Kelly Pavlik on him. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to spank him, teach him his ABCs, and then send him back to Long Island up the road from Philadelphia. And then one day, if he recovers mentally, then he might have something to savage and go forward.
He knows the tricks. You know, he's going to school him and just make him look stupid for 12 rounds. And then we go party Hollywood style on Saturday night after the fight. You know? But if he walks into a punch, he may not be able to enjoy a good steak after the fight.
You talk about how Hopkins knows all the tricks now. He's been fighting for so long. Will he be like grabbing and clutching more than, say, he would have 20, 25 years ago?
I don't expect him to use his legs because he's a 51-year-old guy. So expect him to use the tricks of holding the guy, tying the guy up, wait for the referee to break you, take deep breaths. You know, he's an old man, you know. So these are all the tricks he's been using for years, and he will employ these tricks on Saturday. But if the punch lands from this puncher, man, it may be the end of Brad Hopkins Saturday night. Dangerous one. Dangerous tangle Saturday. I don't know why they picked this fight, man.
Namdi, on the undercard of Hopkins-Smith, I understand a top African fighter will be showing off his skills.
Sonny, Tabiso Mchunu from South Africa. They call him The Rock. He can fight. He's going to go against Oleksandr Usyk from Ukraine for the WBO Cruiserweight title. Tabiso is not a bad fighter. I still remember the fight he had with Ilunga Makabu in South Africa when he went 11 rounds and Makabu stopped him. It's a good chance Tabiso can really pull off an upset because Usyk only has 10 fights and 9 knockouts. So if Tabiso will come into the ring with all this experience of beating Eddie Chambers in a big upset, I think we may have a new cruiserweight champion from Africa for the WBO.
Namdi, as we talk, only a couple weeks left in the year. How about an update on other African fighters?
Sonny, last Saturday in New Zealand for the WBO heavyweight title between Joseph Parker and Andy Ruiz from the U.S., there was a very good fight on the card. From Ghana, Isaac Dogbo, they call him Royal Storm. 15-0 with 9 KOs, super bantamweight, only 22. He is, right now, WBO African Boxer of the Year, which says a lot because that means in 2017, we can see him strike for super bantamweight or a featherweight title. So, exciting fighter on the scene, and we're very glad he's from Africa.
Finally, Namdi, I know there's a chance Floyd Mayweather could lace up the gloves again in 2017, but at this point, Joshua Klitschko seems like the big bout for 2017. Your thoughts?
Oh, Sonny, the fight at the Wembley Arena in April is the biggest thing, but if we throw in Canelo Triple G and then Mayweather comes back, we're looking at a monster year for boxing, Sonny. It's a big one. It's a big year for boxing. No matter what anybody say, oh, the game is dead. Boxing is dead and all. Oh, it's only MMA or what do you call it, martial arts or UFC. But if we have this mega fight, Joshua, Klitschko, Mayweather, Pacquiao, Triple G, and Canelo, come on, man. It's a monster year for the game.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta.
Galala! Great show, bro.
Music time in Africa. Tune in to your local radio station. Fridays at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays at 900, 15, 20 and 2200 Universal Time. That's what's up.
Why? But tell me where you want.
What?
Why did we get them mama shop me land?
Them mama shop you land?
Ahead them mama shop me land.
This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, during his social media segment a little later in the show, VOA's Andrew Palcheski will pay tribute to popular American sportscaster Craig Sager, who died of leukemia Thursday at age 65. Now let's go to Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos, where the field is set for Saturday's semifinals at the Africa Beach Soccer Cup of Nations tournament. Senegal will go against Egypt in the first semifinal, and then Nigeria will host Morocco. The winners of the two matches will advance to Sunday's final, and they'll also book places at the 2017 FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup, which will be hosted by the Bahamas from April 27th to May 7th. The Senegalese were the only team to win all three of their group matches in Lagos. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other African football news.
Senegal became the first team to qualify for the semifinals as they saw off defending champions Madagascar 3-1 on Wednesday. On Thursday, Senegal made it 3 wins out of 3 on match day 3 in the group stage after overpowering Libya 10-2 in the Group B match on Thursday. Egypt stunned Cote d'Ivoire 4-2 in a Group A encounter on Thursday and claimed a semi-final spot. President Muhammadu Buhari has ordered the immediate payment of all outstanding allowances and bonuses being owed the Super Falcons. This was after the victorious Nigerian women at the just-concluded African Women Cup of Nations in Cameroon embarked on a protest march against the non-payment of the allowances by the Nigerian Football Federation. The Super Falcons staged a protest march carrying various placards with inscriptions to the gate of the President Villa, the National Assembly in Abuja. Members of the Senate Committee on Sport assured the Super Falcons of payment of their outstanding allowances.
Has it become a crime to make your country proud when even those that played the final and lost have been celebrated by their own country and the winners are here languishing, unattended to?
Mr. Speaker, my highly esteemed colleagues, this must stop. And this evil spirit must die in this country.
They cannot say we can. Even, okay, don't even give them money, but treat them well.
Africa's representative at the 2016 FIFA Club World Cup in Osaka, Japan, Mamelodi Sundowns, went down 4-1 to Jeonbuk FC of South Korea to finish 6th out of the 7 teams in the FIFA Club World Cup tournament in Osaka, Japan. Mamelodi Sundowns coach Pitso Mosimane says their mere participation at the Club World Cup in Osaka, Japan is an experience of a lifetime.
We are here to compete. We are here to improve our product. We are here to do our best of abilities and see how far we can get. And we are also here to enjoy football.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA News Feeds. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The U.S. men's national soccer team, under new head coach Bruce Arena, will kick off its 2017 campaign with a friendly match against Serbia January 29th in San Diego, California. U.S. Soccer named the 65-year-old arena head coach last month. He replaced former German star Jurgen Klinsmann shortly after the USA lost 2018 World Cup qualifying matches to Mexico and Costa Rica. This is Bruce Arena's second stint in charge of the USA, and his big objective is to get the Americans to Russia 2018. This friendly against Serbia will come at the end of a January training camp for the American men. It'll be used to help them get ready for World Cup qualifying matches in late March against Honduras and Panama. Serbia is also trying to qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Serbia is currently in second place in Group D of European qualifying with a record of 2 wins, no losses, and 2 draws. Uruguayan football star Luis Suarez signed a new contract with Barcelona Friday that will keep him with the club until 2021. Barca also recently extended Brazilian star Neymar's contract until 2021. And now it'll try to seal a deal with Lionel Messi to keep together its formidable attacking trio. Luis Suarez's new contract has a buyout clause of about $207 million. Suarez has scored 97 goals in 116 matches for Barcelona since signing from Liverpool for a reported $84 million. During his time with Barcelona, Luis Suarez has won 8 major trophies. He scored 40 goals in La Liga last season, making him the top scorer in Spain, and it also earned him the European Golden Shoe Award as the leading goal scorer in Europe's top 5 leagues. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty end-of-week greetings to you, Sonny. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, actually, it's, you know, we say Happy Friday, but it's actually kind of a sad Friday here in the Sunny Side of Sports, and that's because we're mourning the passing of Craig Sager, longtime broadcaster, sports broadcaster for Turner Broadcasting here in the U.S., which covers a lot of NBA games. He dies of leukemia at the age of 65, and this is a fight he had been battling for several years now, very well publicized. And so we have a lot of reaction coming in from the sports world. And I'll just read some of the tweets and messages being transmitted on social media. Kobe Bryant tweeting out, "Time is simply how you live your life." Now, a lot of people sharing that quote. That was the quote that Sager gave at the ESPY Awards earlier this year. He's a very well-known quote that he said
there. Great quote.
Great quote. And it's been associated with this fight against leukemia that he's been undergoing. In fact, you see it on some of the jerseys and things honoring him, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But Kobe tweets, "Time is simply how you live your life. So grateful for the time you shared with us all. RIP, my friend." And a fun fact, or interesting fact, Kobe Bryant's first interview ever as an NBA player, literally he was just drafted, first interview was with Craig Sager. So that was Kobe Bryant obviously had a special place in his life with Craig Sager, a special relationship there. Paul Pierce tweeting out that Craig Sager is one of a kind. RIP, the game is going to miss you. Dwayne Wade putting up on Instagram a video where he says, "You live your life full of love and full of fun. That's how you live your life." And, of course, the great Magic Johnson saying, "The NBA family lost a legend who changed the way sideline reporters did their job. RIP Craig Sager." So a lot of tributes coming in from current and former players.
I know one of his, foils on the court was Greg Popovich, the longtime head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. And Pop would come across sometimes as kind of gruff when he deals with these sideline reporters. But I think he even had a special place in his heart for Craig Sager.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, if I could use an adjective to describe Greg Popovich, it would be gruff. But he actually had a very nice, touching tribute of a kind of that's gone viral, a little video clip
where after the game last night, he said, on a day like this, basketball has to take a back seat. And he spent the 2 or 3 minutes talking to the press just about his relationship with Craig Sager, how he knew him, his courageous battle with leukemia. So rather than talking about anything about the San Antonio Spurs, how they played, he just focused on Craig Sager. So it was really touching how he did that. Another coach, a well-known coach in the NBA who had a tribute was Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors. And this is another video that's going around. It's become viral. Kerr announces before the game between the Golden State Warriors and the New York Knicks, announces that Craig Sager has passed. And he says to everybody, you know what? He has such joy in his life. He said it was so fun to go out with him after the games. He would go out with the officials and the coaches, and he would always be laughing and having a great time. So he said, instead of having a moment of silence, let's have a moment of joy to honor what a joyful person he was. So it was really great. Everybody there applauding, cheering, celebrating his life. So rather than being silent and sad, celebrating the good times, which was a really nice way to remember him.
Well, here's a kind of a joyful, fun fact about the late Craig Sager. He was a graduate of Northwestern University in Chicago. He earned a bachelor's degree in speech. He was an athlete, and he tried to make Northwestern's football and basketball teams as a walk-on, but he wasn't good enough to make the teams. So this kind of goes into what he did later in his life. He decided that he would become the school's mascot for the next 3 years, Willie the Wildcat. So he put on the mascot garb and led the cheers, I guess, at Northwestern games. So.
You know, you get on the field and you get on the court any way you can. And he, you know, even though he didn't excel in sports, he excelled as a mascot and then as a sports broadcaster for sure. And to that point, you know, even outside the world of basketball, of course, he reported on basketball for many years, but the sports world at large is remembering him. And two tweets in particular, one from the Atlanta Falcons football team said, "We lost an Atlanta icon and inspiration today, and they offer their condolences." Turner Broadcasting, which he worked for, was based in Atlanta, so very well known in that city. And then, as you mentioned, he went to Northwestern, which is right outside of Chicago, so very well known Chicago world, very, very big Chicago Cubs fan. And so that was nice that they won the World Series this year. And Anthony Rizzo, a member of that World Series team, the first baseman for the Cubs, said, "We lost a legend way too soon. My condolences to the family of Craig Sager." So even outside the world of basketball, which he was so well known, he touched a lot of other elements in the sports world.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we talk about the moment of joy and all the joy with Craig Sager, and we can't do this segment and talk about him without talking about the sports coats. That is probably the one thing
right.
I think, you know, his excellent reporting on the sidelines he's well known for. But the one thing I think he's best known for are these colorful sports coats and jackets that he would wear, just with the most ridiculous kind of patterns on them. And then the one quote from ESPN SportsCenter, they said, "Craig Sager, a low-volume pro in the loud clothes." And that was kind of, I think, how a lot of people are remembering him, too. He was, you know, he had a lot of fun. He was very great, kind of low-key. But as those jackets were amazing. Bright, vivid colors. And in fact, several teams last night paid tribute to him with some warm-up jerseys. One of them was the Minnesota Timberwolves. Their warm-up jerseys are actually patterned like the sport coat. With the loud pattern, it looked like it had a tie on the front, so it was designed in a way it looked like they were wearing a jacket and tie. And on the back, it had that quote, that famous Espy's quote, "Time is how you live your life." So they were one of a number of teams last night that were using those warm-up jerseys. I saw some sports shows putting out pictures on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram that they were wearing those warm-up jerseys today in honor of him. So a lot of people, I think, today in the sports world wearing some very colorful, creative sports coats in honor of Craig Sager as a nice way to remember him.
And one quick sport coat Sager tidbit. At one NBA game, the former NBA commissioner David Stern was poking fun at his attire, and Stern's wife was on hand, and she said, "I like his sport coats. So please don't criticize him."
Yeah, he got some flack from some of the players too, but I think it was all in good fun. It was definitely a signature item for him.
Rest in peace, Craig Sager. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the December 16th holiday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Much has changed in the 35 years since a terrible new disease, known today as HIV/AIDS, was identified. Before, an HIV/AIDS diagnosis was a death sentence. A person with HIV often lived less than a year after it progressed to AIDS. Today, nearly half of the 37 million people living with HIV/AIDS receive life-saving HIV treatment, allowing them normal lives. Through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, the United States has been at the forefront of the global response. PEPFAR is the largest commitment by any nation to combat a single disease in history, said U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator Ambassador Deborah Birx. Recent data show the epidemic is becoming controlled in several key African countries, demonstrating the remarkable impact of PEPFAR's investments. Indeed, achieving an AIDS-free generation is now within our reach. Driven by research and data, our collective efforts have saved millions of lives and are turning the tide against HIV/AIDS, said USAID Administrator Gail Smith. Today, PEPFAR is supporting 11.5 million people globally with life-saving treatment. The good news is, according to a recent UNAIDS report, infections in children globally have dropped 51% between 2010 and 2015. Simultaneously, annual AIDS-related deaths fell from 2 to 1.11 million. The bad news is the virus is spreading among young women in sub-Saharan Africa. According to a recent UNAIDS report, last year nearly 1 in 5 new infections worldwide occurred in women between the ages of 15 and 24. Adolescent girls and young women account for nearly 75% of new HIV infections among adolescents in sub-Saharan Africa. This is concerning, as the 15 to 24-year-old population in sub-Saharan Africa will have doubled by 2020. There are many reasons for the alarming rates of new HIV infections among young women, including gender-based violence, exclusion from economic opportunities, insufficient access to health care, even a lack of access to secondary education. So, through PEPFAR, the United States is working with its partners to reduce, by the end of 2017, new HIV infections among adolescent girls and young women by 40% in the highest HIV burden areas of 10 sub-Saharan African countries. It's the first time the U.S. government has ever set specific targets for preventing new HIV infections among this group, underscoring the U.S. global strategy to empower adolescent girls. With our partners, we can sustain an enduring legacy of American leadership, compassion, and determination, said USAID Administrator Smith. Together, we can end AIDS worldwide by 2030.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, I jeje. This one, I jeje.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.